Okay, we'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4, looking at the miracles of Christ, looking at some of his miracles over nature at this time. Last week we began looking here in Mark's account. Matthew and Luke also give account of this. It's Christ stilling the storm, and we see in beginning with verse 35, in the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, that is his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side, the sea unto the country of the Gadarenes. We see between verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side, and verse 1 of chapter 5, they came over unto the other side. That describes, I believe, it's a picture of our voyage through life, and it will, for we that are saved, will end up safely on the other side. But between those two verses, verse 35 and verse 1 of chapter 5, is the voyage. And we see that there was a storm, and there are a lot of things that we learn from this. First of all, the disciples were in obedience to Christ. As we said last week, don't make the assumption that when somebody is going through a storm that they're not right with the Lord. That's not necessarily so. We see Job, of course, is an example. We see here the disciples were with Christ. They were in obedience to Christ, and they had been attending unto the ministry of Christ quite faithfully, and yet we see them in a storm. And we saw last week that the voyage to the other side is with Christ. He said, let us pass over the other side. He did not say, you go over to the other side, but let us go over to the other side. And our voyage to the other side, our voyage through this life is with Christ, and there's nothing that can change that. There's no storm, there's no circumstance, there's nothing that can change that fact that we are with Christ in this voyage. We see also that the voyage, of course, like any voyage, has a purpose and it has a destination. He said, let us pass over the other side. We get to Mark chapter 5 and we see the purpose of passing over to the other side was a demon-possessed man that Jesus would heal. And everything the Lord does, of course, in our voyage to the other side has a purpose. We do not necessarily know the purpose. The disciples here did not know the purpose. They didn't know why Jesus wanted to pass over the other side, nor did he tell them. He just said, let us pass over to the other side. But there was purpose. And, of course, there was a specific destination. And everything that happens in our voyage to the other side, there is a purpose, and there is a destination. Our final destination, of course, we that are saved, is glory. We see also that the voyage is not without storm. Now, certainly they could have passed over to the other side and all could have been calm the whole trip, but that wasn't the case. And so it is. Sometimes there's calm times, sometimes there's storms. You cannot go through life, if you live any length of time, without having some storms, without experiencing some storms. Some people experience more storms than others. It's not evenly distributed amongst us that we all go through the exact same storms, or that we all go through the exact storms. Some go through more than others, and we all go through different storms. So today we want to look at some characteristics of this particular storm, which of course gives us some characteristics of the storms that God's people face today. First of all, these storms can be sudden and unexpected. Notice in Matthew's account in chapter 8 and verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea." Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Mark records there in Mark 4 and verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." Luke says in Luke 8 and verse 23, "And there came down a storm of wind on the sea." So Mark and Matthew say there arose a great storm. Luke says there came down a storm of wind. I believe in each of these accounts we see that it appears that the storm came suddenly. It came suddenly. It came unexpectedly. There are storms, of course, that you can see coming. You can somewhat prepare for them. You see them coming, and you are expecting them. Maybe expecting bad news, or you just know there's a storm on the horizon. There's a storm coming, and just like with real storms, of course, that storm may not come. It may go around us. But then there are storms that come suddenly. They come unexpectedly. These are the storms that upset people the most. Again, if you're planning an activity during the day and the weatherman said there's no chance of rain today, and you get to where you're going and all of a sudden it rains all day, you say, "Well, they didn't predict this." And you get very upset because this wasn't predicted. We weren't expecting this. That's the way storms are. Storms come suddenly. Storms come unexpectedly. They do not come necessarily at convenient times. You do not plan your storms. God doesn't just give us storms and then we fit them into our schedule wherever they would fit best. It doesn't work that way. Many people would like it to work that way, and many people, I'm afraid, expect it to work that way. But that's not how it works. Storms come suddenly. Storms come unexpectedly. The storms can be very severe. We see both Matthew and Mark use the word great in describing the storm in Matthew 8, verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea." Verse 37 of Mark chapter 4, "And there arose a great storm." Now the word great, of course, implies something substantial. This was a substantial storm. This was not just a shower. This was a substantial storm. This was something that was significant. It was extraordinary. It was immense. It was widespread. It was a great storm. In other words, the storm was bigger than them. The storm was bigger than them. Now, that's always the case, but we don't always realize it. The storm is always bigger than us. The storm is never bigger than God, or even equal with God, but the storm's always bigger than us. We can't do anything without Christ. But sometimes we are brought to realize, and we need to be brought to this point, that this is bigger than me. I can't handle this. As long as you think you can handle something, you will try to handle it. But as soon as you realize, I can't handle this. I can't control this. As soon as you realize it's out of your hands, and really everything is, that's when we depend upon the Lord. So it is necessary. It is absolutely necessary that we go through storms where we know without any doubt whatsoever that this storm is bigger than me. This storm is bigger than any other individual. Now notice some things about this storm in Mark 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves. Waves, of course, would be the result of the wind. So it was a great storm of wind. It was a great storm of waves. And due to the severity of the storm, their boat was in danger, and their very lives were in danger. Both the boat and their lives were in danger. Notice Matthew, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. The ship was covered with the waves. That means the boat was in danger of sinking. That means that their very lives were in jeopardy. Mark 4, verse 37, if we turn over there, Mark 4, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And Luke wrote in Luke 8, verse 23, they were filled with water. They were filled with water. But then notice what else Luke wrote in Luke chapter 8, verse 23. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Their lives were in danger. It's humanly speaking, their lives were in danger. The ship was in danger of sinking. The ship was in danger of just going to pieces. Their lives were in jeopardy. In other words, they were not sure that they were going to make it through this storm. They did not have that assurance, it's going to be okay. No one was standing up and saying, don't worry, this is going to pass, everything's going to be okay. They weren't sure about that. They weren't sure that they were going to make it through this storm. It was a severe storm. Now, we know in our minds that all storms are going to pass. We know that in our minds. We know that we're going to safely reach the other side. But knowing that, we also sometimes experience storms and we think, I'm not going to make it through this one. My life is in jeopardy. And notice also in Matthew, in all three accounts, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. We perish. We're going to die. They were certain of that. We perish. We see in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, verse 38. The last part of that verse, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Luke uses the same words in Luke 8, verse 24. So all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record the fact that the disciples came to Christ and said, save us, we perish. In other words, they were frightened, they were terrified, they were completely helpless, and they were certain of death. Now, I don't know how long it took them. I have a pretty good idea. But I don't know how long it took them to finally go to the hinder part of the ship and say, we perish. When they did that, I guarantee it was after they realized that the boat was filled with water. They had tried to get the water out. The boat was being beat with the waves. There was nothing they could do. And that's when they finally came to the Lord. That's when most people go to the Lord, when it gets so desperate that they realize, I cannot handle this. Then they go to the Lord. All that we would learn. And we are so slow in learning this that we would just learn to just go to the Lord immediately. But we don't. So we see it was so severe that it appeared that their lives were in danger. We see also that things are not always what they appear in the storm. And these are things that appearances can make the storm worse. Appearances can cause the storm that is going on in our heart to be worse than the storm that is actually taking place in our lives. And we see this with the disciples. Not only was there a storm on the lake, but there was a storm going on in their heart. We perish. We perish. They again, their lives were in jeopardy. And it appeared that the Lord was indifferent to their situation. That's what it appeared. We see Matthew records the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Matthew says, our ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. There was an appearance of indifference. Mark records, the waves beat into the ship that was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. And even notice that he had a pillow. Asleep on a pillow. Luke records, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Master, carest thou not that we perish? That was the assumption that they made. Christ was asleep. That immediately caused them to assume that Christ did not care. We make a lot of assumptions in life. And what the sad thing about assumptions is, once you make an assumption, it is a fact in your mind. It's a fact in your mind.
It may not be a fact, but once you make the assumption, it has become fact in your mind. And there are people who live their entire lives based upon an assumption that they have made. Now, everyone has grounds for an assumption in their mind. Well, it appears. This is how I see it. But you see, things are not always as they appear. In very fact, there's not too many times that things are exactly as they appear. So it appeared that Jesus did not care. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you see a degree of impatience in those words? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Impatience will add to your storm. It'll add to your storm. And assumptions will feed impatience. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Is there not a degree of unbelief in those words? There certainly is, because Jesus said, how is it that ye have no faith? He asked them a question that required examination of their hearts. How is it that you have no faith? It's not you don't have faith, it's why? What has got you to this point that you do not believe? Master, carest thou not that we perish? There is fear in those words. Again, Christ asked them, why are you so fearful? And it was all, the storm was bad enough. But their assumptions led to more impatience, led to more unbelief, led to greater fear, and they were doubting his concern, they were doubting his commitment to him. And there are times, very frequently, and a lot of these times are our own fault and because of our own spiritual frame of mind. But there are times where Christ appears to be indifferent. There are times when God seems to be distant. Again, read the Psalms. We see it all through the Psalms. But any time that the Lord appears to be indifferent, you need to remember this. That is just an appearance. That's not a fact. It is simply an appearance. And sometimes those appearances, again, as I said, are our fault. We bring them on because of our own spiritual indifference. But sometimes God causes this. Jesus purposely went and fell asleep in the hinder part of the ship. He went to the hinder part of the ship to sleep. And did he not know? Did he not know that the storm was going to come? Yes, he did. And he purposely went to sleep. Why did he do that? To test their faith. To show them where they were spiritually, and they were impatient, and they were fearful. And immediately they jumped to an assumption that the Lord did not care. Now that's offensive. If somebody is constantly jumping to an assumption about you that is false, that's offensive. But how offensive must it be when God's people jump to the assumption that Christ did not care? No one cared more. Yet they assumed that he didn't care. Again, when it appears that he doesn't care, that's an appearance. That's an appearance that is not a fact. It is an appearance. It is a perception that you may have. but it is a wrong perception. The Lord is never indifferent. The whole time he was sleeping, we don't know how long this storm went on before they finally came to Jesus, but the whole time he was sleeping, did he not know what was happening? He sure did. He knew more than they did. He knew how the winds were and the waves were beating into the ship. He knew all of that. But it appeared that he didn't care. It appeared that he was unaware. Again, that's always an appearance, because God is never unaware. Did he not know also what was happening in the hearts of his people? And I believe from the question that Jesus asked the disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It seems to me that from those questions, Jesus was more concerned about what was going on within them than he was what was going on outside on the lake. And that's always so. We want God to be mostly concerned about what's happening all around us. But the truth is, God is more concerned what's happening in your heart during the storm. Because what's happening in your heart during the storm will make the storm either easier to get through or a lot worse. And again, if you're in the midst of a storm and you're just making one assumption after another, well, you're going to be in it for a while. You're going deeper and deeper and deeper. It's going to get harder and harder and harder. You have to stay out of that trap of making assumptions. We all go places in our minds that are not good places for us to be. And many times we cannot help but take a little trip and go to a place. But you can't help getting stuck there. And that will prolong your storm more than anything. You go somewhere that is not healthy for you to go, and you get stuck there, you're going to be in the storm as long as you're stuck. And there are people who have been stuck most of their lives. They are stuck. They went to a place in their mind. This person thinks such and such. They've made an assumption, and they're stuck there. And they don't want it any different either. They don't really want to be unstuck. They kind of enjoy being stuck there. Well, that will prolong the storm. Next week we'll conclude on this miracle. We'll see some of the advantages of this particular storm that the disciples experienced. Let's look to the Lord.